Now, if you were listening to Thursday's programme with the lovely, delightful Melita, we were talking to City Reads' Sarah Hutchings. And City Reads is the time when Brighton and Hove becomes one big book group, all reading the same book. And this year, the book is Let Me Be Like Water, and it's the debut novel by S.K. Perry, and it's an exploration of grief and healing. So don't worry if you didn't hear that discussion on Thursday, because we've got S.K. Perry. Sarah is with us now. Because you're going to be in conversation this Sunday at Brighton Hove High School. So let's find out a bit more about the sort of things people might hear at that. But firstly, how did it feel when you... And when? How were you told that you'd won the competition to be the book that is read by the folks of Brighton?
Oh, it was so exciting. I mean, I knew I was in the running. I think quite late in the process, my publisher had submitted the book. And I think at the point at which... it had got kind of down to the final few, she told me that it was a possibility.
Yeah.
But she actually rang me on the morning of my wedding, which which was so weird, because it wasn't the morning of my wedding, it was the day before when we'd gone up to decorate everything. So we were loading up the van and my phone had rung and I'd answered it. And I went back in and I was like, guys, something really exciting's just happened. And everyone was sort of like, what are you talking about? Because obviously we were all about to go and decorate the wedding venue. Anyway, it was really cool. And it was weird because it was quite a long time before the announcement. So I didn't really tell anyone. It was all very kind of hush hush until they made the announcement.
It's like getting an MBE or something. You get told, but you can't tell anyone.
Exactly like that, yeah. It's just so lovely, I think, anyway, to have something this exciting, but for it to be in Brighton where the book is set as well. It just feels like bringing it home. And it's really exciting to have the chance to meet people who live in the places that it's set and who kind of have conversations with me about a place that they've recognised in the book. That's just so exciting to hear, if that makes sense.
Well, exactly. And I've been reading it and there's several places I recognise, the Sidewinder pub being one of them that springs to mind immediately. It gets a little reference in there. There's quite a lot of drinking goes on.
I guess there is,
It's you guess there is. There's a lot of drinking going on.
I didn't notice how much there was until I recorded the audiobook. So the audiobook edition is me reading it. And it's so bizarre because when you're writing it, obviously you read it back all the time, but you're reading it back in small bits. And I often read it out loud while I was writing it as well, because it's a really oral piece. Like it was important to me how it sounded and how it felt like it sounded inside someone's head. But I'd obviously never read it from start to finish out loud. And as I was reading it, I was just blown away by it. The fact that, you're quite right, they're either drunk or sad almost all the time.
Well, you mentioned the sad, because obviously I would have said if someone has recently suffered bereavement, it could be a very difficult read, because it's the intensity, and it doesn't give anything away about the what goes on in the novel, because from the first couple of pages, you know it's about bereavement. Mm. It's so harsh, the emotional response of the protagonist.
Yeah, and I think that's maybe exacerbated because, the protagonist, the main character, her name's Holly, and the book is her talking to Sam, who's the person that she's lost, her partner. And she's, about 23 years old, and he's kind of the same, he's a little bit older, but the same kind of age when he dies. And so she kind of imagines that she's sat chatting to him and that it's addressed to him. And I think that, in particular, that dynamic of the reader being Sam, as it were, and hearing how much... I guess she talks to him about her grief, because that's the natural thing to tell him.
You're hearing that internal voice, aren't you?
Yeah, quite a lot. Those harshest moments, the moment she feels most alone and the moment she's struggling the most, is what the book holds, I think, because those are the moments that she turns to him. But I hope there's some humour in there as well. And one of the things I really wanted to do was kind of also build in lots of memories of their relationship when it was good, so that not only, did you resonate potentially with the grief and with those feelings of loss, but also had a sense of what the love had been like. And that's maybe the kind of lighter side of that dynamic, is that she, is remembering him and remembering how they met and the good times that they had as well.
Well, there's certainly plenty of fun to be being had there out in Brighton with younger people. Now, I say this because Sarah Hutchings was saying to us on an earlier programme that she thinks you're the youngest author to be selected for this, and that a lot of people, the feedback she's had is that a lot of younger readers have found something they can really relate to.
Oh, that's interesting.
In the stories of relationships and bereavement and stuff, but based on their age and relating to you, as you were only 23 when you wrote this, weren't you?
I was about, I wrote it between kind of the ages of 23 and 25, and I'm 28 now. That was definitely an intention, and because I wrote the book over such a long period of time and actually didn't know it was going to be a book when I started just writing, I didn't have that many intentions at the beginning.
What were you doing? You were just making notes?
Yeah, just writing in my room for myself, like, because it was something I did to, like,
almost like the sketches and the passages.
Yeah.
And
just had notebooks. I was on a tube and was just writing stuff down. And
is that why it's formatted in the way it is?
Yeah, so the chapters are very, very short.
Right.
And that's also because I was writing loads of poetry at the time and performing spoken word as well. And so quite a lot of the chapters, which are sort of 1 to 2 paragraphs long, started off their life as poems, I guess. And so then... But over time, particularly working with my editor and agent, we had to give it shape and we had to give it a story and make it into characters and a novel. And but one of the real intentions I felt from the very beginning was that at the time, again, probably 5 years ago now, and I do think that this has changed a lot in the last few years, I just didn't see that many kind of, especially women, but broadly young people being represented in literary fiction at that age group. And grief is a universal thing that everyone experiences, but often when you read about grief, you expect it to be someone older in their life. And people in their early 20s do lose their partners, you know, and they lose best friends and they lose family members.
Yeah, I was 19 when my dad died, and I think around me, the response of the people that I was friends with and knew, it was tough because people didn't know how to respond at that age.
Yeah, and you don't yourself. No. You've maybe not supported someone through
it. Do you think this is like a manual for people to look at? Would you give it to someone who is suffering, or do you think there's too much pain in there? It's not the right time.
I definitely didn't write it to be prescriptive. I think I have had actually psychotherapists write to me and say that they've recommended it to a client, and I've had lots of people write to me to say that they were grieving and found it really useful, which is great to hear. I'm sure there are some people who would and some people who wouldn't, because everyone processes things differently. But one thing I really wanted the book to show was that you can be very, very emotional and in a lot of pain and still be loved and accepted. And I think, like, a lot of people, when they're hurting that much, don't know how to share it and don't know how to exist in relationships and continue with their life. And it felt important to me to depict someone going through a lot of really difficult stuff and people around them just being like, well, yeah, it makes sense. Like, you do you. And that felt important.
They're letting her snap. They're letting her sort of be rude back
and annoying and selfish at times, you know, because people grieving are...
Now, we could talk about this for ages, Mark, but I know we need to just say what the Sunday event is.
Yes.
So it's this Sunday at 7:30, and you're in conversation,
it's
I believe.
It's at
5:30.
Yeah.
Sorry, well corrected. Yeah.
A bit early for people to get home for their tea.
So, and it's described as being 14 plus, because I must say the book has got some pretty raunchy moments in it. So I don't know if you're going to be raunchy at your event on Sunday afternoon
you? I'm not planning on being raunchy, but you never know what will come out. I guess the book, I would say, is 14 plus, and so it makes sense not to bring kids along. But
yeah. So you're in conversation with Bridget
Minimore.
Minimore, right.
Brilliant poet and journalist, theatre critic. So I'm really excited to talk to her, and hopefully it'll be a great event.
Great. And how have you enjoyed festival so far?
Been such a privilege.
Have you been before to festival?
Yes, I come every year because my parents love it. And there's always so much on. Been seeing some great stuff and really excited to be part of it on Sunday.
Great. Thank you so much for coming in, Sarah, or S.K. Perry, as it says on the front cover of the book.
Definitely going to read that book.
Aww. Good.
Yeah.
That discussion, the City Reads event around Let Me Be Like Water, is this Sunday at 5:30 at Brighton & Hove High School. Thanks for coming in, Sarah.
Thank you.